Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Mark is drawing us in, moving us along a story, a storyline that is being woven masterfully by a great artist with one intention, one purpose, to help us experience the kingdom of God. Jesus has just been to his hometown of Nazareth, and he wasn't accepted so kindly there. He was ignored, shunned, kicked out. Jesus then sends his disciples out. Now imagine you're one of Jesus' disciples. You have an experience of Jesus in his own hometown being rejected by his closest friends and family. And now Jesus says, I want you to go out with nothing. Go out to these communities around here and preach the same thing I just preached to my hometown. I'd be a little anxious. I'd be a little nervous about that. Take nothing with you, Jesus says, except the clothes on your back and the Holy Spirit. Trust in God. Go preach the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. Preach peace, God's peace upon the communities. Heal people. Cast out demons. And they go. I want to be part of that story. But then Mark shifts the attention. Full stop, pause, whole different story. And that's where we are today. King Herod heard of it. What the work that Jesus is doing, presumably. For Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, oh, it's John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, so Herod protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed. Yet Herod liked to listen to John. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for courtiers and officers and the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore, whatever you ask of me, I will give you half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, Mom, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately, the girl rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went, beheaded him in prison, and brought his head on a platter, gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gift of Holy Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Barbara is an Episcopal priest, a seminary professor, a gifted author. If you're looking for a book to read this summer, pick up any one of her books, and she will draw you into the story of God in powerful ways. Mark, also a gifted author, perhaps gave Barbara that vision of the kingdom of God. Good friends, good food, good, meaningful work. Something that we create with God. Something that we make with God. Something that doesn't just happen by itself, but takes hard work. I think that's the message that Mark is offering to his community. And Mark does it as a gifted author does with the tools of his trade, with stories. There's some thinking about how do I help congregations see that the kingdom of God is at hand, here, available to us. Easier said than done. But I follow in Mark's footsteps, so I offer story. And in Mark's gospel, he has two occasions in which there are dark and stormy nights when all hope seems to have been lost. So that feels like a good place to begin my story. It was a dark and stormy night. The young, incredibly beautiful actress had just finished filming the premiere of a new Netflix series. She was going to celebrate, winding her way through the hills of Hollywood. As the hills grew higher and higher, the road dropped away, sheer cliffs on the side. Thunder, lightning all around her, but it hadn't started raining too heavily yet. The higher she climbed into the Hollywood hills, the more her car began to cough and sputter. She started to feel some anxiety, some fear, because there were no shoulders on these roads. What should she do if the car died? She'd be stuck right in the middle of the road. And then, like a miracle, a place for her to pull off, just a little bit of shoulder, but she's able to get off the road. And as she pulls in, the car breathes its last gasp and dies. She looks a couple switchbacks down, not too far away, still a bit of a walk, a little community, a hamlet, several homes inviting, beckoning. She could make it. Then lightning explodes a light pole right in front of her. Shards of wood pepper the car. The thunder tears open the fabric of the night, and rain plummets down through the opening, pounding on the roof of the car. She wonders, what do I do now? Another flash of lightning, and there she sees a driveway going up into the hill. She follows the driveway, another flash of lightning, and she sees the shadow, ominous perhaps, a castle. Seriously, a castle at the end of this driveway. It's close, and now the rain and the lightning and the thunder are so intense, she pulls the floor mat over her head and runs up the driveway towards the castle. And when she arrives at the door, well, you all know what she sees. A heavy oak door wrapped in iron with a knocker. Because all good castle doors have a big, heavy door knocker. And as she reaches for the door knocker, the door opens all by itself. Candlelit foyer, deserted. The haunting music of a piano playing somewhere deep down that hallway. On the other side of town, other side of Los Angeles, another kind of music was playing. Detective Jack Rio was sitting in his apartment alone again, listening to the worn-out vinyl LP of Miles Davis's A Kind of Blue. And it was making him very blue as he sipped on an iced cold brew coffee for the 100th time that evening, wishing it was a different kind of brew. You've all read this story. We've all heard it dozens of times. The author shifts the scene to draw our attention away for a moment to heighten the anticipation. What about the girl? What happened at the castle? What was that music that was playing? Who was playing? Dear reader, you're going to have to wait. Let me introduce you to the detective. Flashbacks, irony, metaphor, all tools of the artist's craft, all tools the gospel author Mark utilizes in crafting his story. In fact, today is an excellent example of many of these tools being woven into this incredible masterpiece that he has crafted for us with the intention of helping us see the kingdom of God that is here in the midst of all of the challenges. A story that juxtaposes the kingdom of the world against the kingdom of God on earth. Mark begins with a story of the disciples being sent out, filled with anxiety. They must have been filled with anxiety as strangers. They are the outsiders being sent to communities where no one will know them, and all they have to rely on is the grace of those communities, hoping that they will experience God there, hoping that they will have a place to sleep, hoping that they will be offered a meal. But they have something incredible to offer, the gift of the presence of God, the ability to form community, the ability to offer peace. And just as we're getting drawn into that story, Mark shifts the plot, shifts the scene. And all of a sudden, we're in Herod's castle. Now, Herod's castle is clearly a metaphor. This is not just any castle built of rock and stone. No, this is a metaphorical castle to show us what it looks like to live in the kingdom of the world. And we are presented with a question right away. Who was John? See, now this is a flashback, another tool, another technique, flashing the story back to Mark 1, verse 14, when Herod is arrested. So for the rest of the time of Mark's gospel, Herod has been under arrest, and sometime before our story today, Herod has a birthday party. And now, Jesus is on the move, his ministry growing, and people are talking. Who is this guy Jesus? And Herod says something really interesting. Maybe he is John the Baptizer, whom I killed, resurrected from the dead. Now, there have not been any prophets resurrected from the dead in Jewish history. Well, Samuel was brought up by a conjurer in spirit form to speak to Saul, but that's about the only time. The Jewish people have this hope and dream that Elijah will come back because Elijah will be the precursor, the herald of the Messiah. But it's not like there's this tradition of prophets being raised from the dead. John is hoping. Why? Probably because he's been filled with shame and guilt. See, he loved to listen to John. Herod was being drawn into the kingdom of God by John. And then there was this party. And at the party, far too much wine, far too much food, far too much ego. In fact, in this kingdom of the world, we have examples of pretty much every one of the Ten Commandments being broken. Worshipping idolatry, murder, lust, greed, stealing your brother's wife. It's all there. Well, maybe it was on the Sabbath, and we could say that that would be the complete picture. But for the most part, the Ten Commandments are in tatters and ruins in this kingdom of the world. And then Herod remembers the beauty of his stepdaughter and invites her to dance for the crowd. And this is not a family-friendly dance. This is a dance that you're hoping no Facebook videos are taken of. And Herod's stepdaughter steals the show. The men roaring their approval. Now, any king who loses the attention of the audience, well, the first thing they're going to do, ego says, get it back. So what does the king do? He asserts his ego. Oh, bravo, 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 young lady. Anything you want, I will give you. He has to be the center of attention, even up to half of my kingdom. And John's head ends up on a platter. In the kingdom of the world, there's always the next morning. And this next morning was not a pretty sight. John laying under the covers as the sun is streaming into his room, head throbbing. Oh, maybe I can sleep just one more hour. Just one more hour. And then panic strikes. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? And he begins to tear the sheets, looking for the pillow, looking under the pillows. Where's my phone? Finds the phone, goes immediately to Facebook. Oh, thank God. No videos. Instagram. Ah, I'm good. I'm good. And then he sees the blood splattered on his shoes. Why would there be blood on my... Oh. John. This is where Mark uses beautifully the tool of irony. Irony. In the kingdom of the world, John doesn't even think about the fact that John's head, Herod doesn't even think about the fact that John's head is worth far more than half of his kingdom. All he had to say was, young lady, you do not understand how valuable John is. No, but the crowd was watching. And a king can't possibly lose power, right? Now, shame, guilt, even greater irony. Jesus is right there willing to offer a path to freedom, willing to offer a new way for John to live, willing to offer hope. But instead of Herod going to talk to Jesus, he just hopes that he might be John resurrected from the dead. We get this picture painted very clearly in a couple more chapters where the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I desperately want to be in the kingdom of God. What do I have to do? And Jesus offers him a new picture of a new king, of a new kingdom, and it is far too great of a sacrifice. So he walks away sad. Herod finishes this story very sad. And now we come